103.2 Dublin City FM. Friday, 3 p.m. Gardeners all over the world listening to The Sod Show with Peter Donegan.
One of 3.2 Dublin City FM. It's The Sod Show with Peter Donegan and myself, Brian Green. Good afternoon. On today's programme, the first in a two-part interview with Gary Graham. You might know him from Super Garden, from the telly, where he's one of the judges. We know him here on The Sod Show as the show manager at Bloom in the Park. Each year, it's almost a tradition now that The Sod Show has a word in advance of Bloom with Gary to just catch up on what this year will have in store. That interview coming up in a moment. This is The Sod Show, and we must say hello and good afternoon to our sponsors. Thanks to them, greensax.ie, compostable bags for your home and for your garden. Check them out on the internet at www.greensax.ie. Check them out in the supermarket where you can drop Greensax into your trolley. Now, I mentioned Gary Graham interview. That's coming up in a moment. First of all, if you want to get in touch with The Sod Show, you can get us on Twitter at Sod Show, on Facebook, facebook.com/The Sod Show. You can email info@sodshow.com. And we want to hear from you, so do get in touch. If you're going to be in Bloom in the Park and you want to talk to the microphones of The Sod Show, get in touch. Tell us where you're going to be, what day, what time, what location, and we'll get the microphones over to you. info@sodshow.com, at Sod Show on Twitter. That's how you get in touch. Let's get straight to it, because this is an extended long interview which is broken into two parts. The second part is next week. Here's the first part. Peter Donegan is talking with Gary Graham.
I am in the walled gardens of the Phoenix Park. Right next door, over the wall, is you might hear the sounds in the background of Consol's machinery, the final touches, the preparations going on for Bloom in the Park 2014. In my company, Gary Graham. Gary, good to see you again.
Great to see you too. Good to have you here.
It's my annual pilgrimage to chat with you without the, I don't know, you might say I've got about a 30-minute calm window between and just before the mayhem. How chaotic is it at this moment in time, 6 days to opening?
Yeah, it's actually surprisingly calm. Now, as you said, you can hear the machinery, the work is going on. But I think as the years have passed, we've got that many designers and contractors and tradesmen and girls who know what they're doing. So the scheduling is getting better. It's getting slicker. People know when they need to get in. They know what machinery they need. So there's a kind of, I won't say it was always professional, it was always a high standard, but I think that's on the up every year, and I can see that this year. So even within a matter of days, you could see the large structures going up, the big trees coming, and you notice yourself, the kind of stuff you need to do before you start getting to the finessing and the pretty stuff. So a lot of that work happened really early on, so it gives me great confidence. So even if we get a bit of wet weather between now and the show opening, I know we're going to get there and everything will be finished.
So for those listening outside of Ireland, your HS has the Chelsea Flower Show on the go for something like a gazillion years, which isn't even a real number, but it's about that amount. Bloom in the Park is in its eighth year?
This is year eight, you're right. Yeah, Chelsea celebrated their 100th birthday last year. They're a long, long time on the go. Year eight, we're still a baby. We are still a baby, very much so. We are similar to Chelsea. It's a similar format in that the show gardens and horticulture is very much centre of the show. The fact that we're board beer rather than a horticultural society, obviously we're going to broaden that and we're going to bring in the best of Irish food, and that works really well. It's a really nice fit. But yeah, we're similar, I guess, in that gardens, horticulture, show gardens, plant displays, that's very much the core. That's what makes this show different from any other festival. And then we wrap a lot of other good stuff around it. So I suppose what we're trying to do is to bring people in for a day out, whether or not they have any really serious interest in plants or gardens. They will have a good day out. It's a fantastic backdrop here in the Phoenix Park, as you know, beautiful green canvas that we're working with here. We're in the wall garden. You've got this 2.5-acre Victorian wall garden. So there's a lot of lovely stuff here. So we build a show around it. People come in, whether or not they're interested in plants or gardening, they will spend time here, particularly if the sun is shining. We've been fairly lucky most years. They won't leave here without being inspired by something they see by way of plants or garden design or some new feature or some new garden element. And that's really what Bloom is all about. We're not in the event management business. We're not doing this to make money at an event. We're doing this to get people looking at plants and gardens, people who may never actually get out and see a really nice garden, particularly a small space, a design space. We have, as you know, we have fantastic big gardens around this country. You know, OPW, council run gardens, parks, but they're very different than really high-end design spaces. And that's what we're doing. We're trying to bring people in, give them that experience, and hopefully they'll see something that they want. They'll either go back and do it themselves, or they'll bring in a professional and spend money in our industry. And that's what we're all about. We're about developing the horticultural sector.
We last spoke at Clare Garden Festival when I was talking there. Clare Garden Festival is in its second year. Bloom is in its eighth year. I compared Bloom to Electric Picnic and Clare Garden Festival to the independent sort of Spirit of Folk Festival. When we go back to the Fela, what's the equivalent in the UK? Maybe Glastonbury. So in the 1980s, we had the Fela concert. What was pre-Bloom, number one? And number two, do you think that Bloom has been a catalyst for a lot of mini garden festivals? I say mini, not in a knocking kind of way, but as was discussed last week by Peter Dowdall, there's kind of been a resurgence in show gardens. We seem to have a new understanding of it. And all things, as I said to Carmen Cronin, seem to be comparable to you. Where are you? How do you find yourself fitting in the middle of all of this?
That's a really interesting point, because I suppose I spent maybe 8 years working with other event management companies and other organisations who were trying to run the garden show. And there are many attempts at big garden shows and international garden shows going back for a long time. And unfortunately, most of them came and went. And it was only when we got to the point that I suppose I went to the powers that be and said, listen, you know, we actually need to do something like the RHS do, the Royal Horticultural Society do in the UK. We need to take this on ourselves. What we need to do is to establish at least one major national show that's of a standard that it would stack up internationally, that we can bring in the international judges, that we can attract in designers and exhibitors from around the world. If we can get that up and running, then we've got a benchmark, and then we've got something then that all the regional shows can aspire to. Or they can, I'm not suggesting they need to be the same or as big, but you can bring in the important elements. You can show the importance of having show gardens. You can show the importance of having really good plant displays. You can learn and you can share that experience. So now that we're at this point, that Bloom has, well, last year we 110,000 visitors, were bigger than the horse show, bigger than most events out there now, and we're somewhat established, I think it's fair to say. I don't want to get cocky, because I think you have to keep pushing it and improving it, and people that come to the show expect standards to go up every year, and that's what I guess what we're all about. But we're now at that point where we can now reach out to some of those shows around the country and say, okay, well, what can we do to help you? Do you want to come and learn what we're doing at Bloom? Have access to the management team we have. We even have a small grant scheme in place, that are put into place this year, to help them build gardens at their shows. And as I go around the country, and this year I made a point that I would visit all of the regional, the smaller garden shows, you can see a lot of them now talking about Blarney and Bloom, the Burren and Bloom. There's a lot of kind of links back, and they're looking at different things we're doing. And that's exactly what I wanted to see. You need to have at least, I think, for a country of our size, unlike the UK, where you've got Chelsea, you've Hampton Court, you've Tatton Park, you've got five or six major shows, as well as the small kind of county regional shows. I reckon that if we could get one proper show off the ground, get people, familiarise people with what's required in terms of building show gardens and doing plant displays, then it would make it easier for others to do things at local level. So that's now starting to happen, and that's I think, I'm not saying that's all down to Bloom. It's not. There's lots of other good people out there doing things, and they've got their own ideas, and they're doing a great job. But I think there is that Bloom effect, and you can start to see that now. And the other thing that started this year is that we've got the Bloom Fringe, that we've got people around Dublin who are now saying, we've got whatever, 100,000 people coming up to Dublin, what can we do in our community or on our street or at our shop front and so on. And again, that's what Bloom is about. It's not just about Bloom or running an event or getting people in here. It's that impact, that much wider impact.
Two things, a negative, maybe, I say maybe, and a positive. In the initial stages of bloom kicking off in 2007, back when I suppose I had to explain what it was when one was going looking for help or products, etc., there was a suggestion, I don't know if it's correct or not, in the media that bloom was going to be funded to the tune of £1 bazillion, a fictitious figure again, and then that would divide by one third, a third, until it would have to become self-sufficient. That was one report that I did hear. The second point is the positive, and that was in year one I bumped into an Australian television crew. They were in my garden, the one with the car, and last year I met them yet again and we had them on the Sod Show. I'm kind of going Australian TV, the largest, and I know the Garden Gurus is the largest television programme in Australia. They have returned 8 years later. How is bloom standing on its own 2 feet now? Were those media reports correct? And also the positives, which is it's a lot more that bloom is doing than just highlighting gardens. It's highlighting this beautiful island that we live in, and we have so many beauty spots literally right on our doorstep all the way back to Australia.
Yeah. Yeah, on the financials, when we started with Bloom, I gave a commitment to my bosses, if you like, in Board B and to the board, that what we would do is we would create a commercial event, an event that stacks up, that can stand up on its own 2 feet within a period of years. And I thought that, and I still think that is the best way to go, because if we can get an event, and as I said earlier, it's not about making profits, it's about making the event as affordable as possible, making sure that the food here isn't too expensive, making sure as many people have access to it as possible. If it was a fully commercial event, you would be charging a lot more for tickets, you'd have a lot less people coming in, you'd be charging more for your exhibitor space, but that's not the business that we're in. As I said, we're not in the event management business. We want to use Bloom to inspire people and get them involved in the industry and spend money on plants and gardening and so on. So yes, that was the objective. That still is the objective. Unfortunately, as we all know, what happened was 2007, we were looking at an economy that was absolutely buoyant is an understatement. We were awash with money, and it was only in 2008 then when we fell off that economic financial cliff. So back then the business model was all about sponsorship. It was about having 50s and hundreds of thousands and big money coming in to create gardens and features and so on. So we had to change that business model after 2008, and we had to focus on other income streams, and we had to think, well, how else can we use Bloom? As you said, is it just about promoting gardens and plants, or can we use it to promote food, all the Board B quality assurance schemes? We had the Craft Council in here doing their stuff, and that's the approach we took. We said, well, listen, we need to take a longer term view of this, which is what we're doing. Yes, still make it as financially sustainable as possible, but not take a sort of short-term view and say, okay, well, if we don't get it over the line financially within year five or six, we stop. And I suppose because it has been so successful and has created such media interest, and you know, there's TV spin-offs and so on, as you said, we've got a lot of journalists and TV crews coming from around the world, so there's huge tourism benefits as well. That has enabled us to keep going with it and to keep investing in it. And I think no one has a problem with that anymore. There isn't that same. I think when we started off, and it was, oh, well, this is a garden show. It's, you know, it's going to be a small show. It's going to have it's aimed at a niche market, if you like, and it's going to have limited impact. In that scenario, it's much harder to justify an investment of what is taxpayers' money. We have to remember that, so we have to be very careful about how we use it, and we have to show the value. So last year, for example, what we did a major piece of research to see, well, can we justify this? What is the real impact of Bloom? And it was quite, I was surprised myself. I knew there were lots of positives there. But for example, at the show itself last year, there was 5.5 million spent just at the show during the 5 days. And one third of that was spent on plants. That's a lot of money over 5 days. And then more importantly, what we did a piece of research 4 weeks after. So this is a national piece of research where we talked to people all over the country. And we find out, what did you do on the June Bank Holiday weekend? Did you go to Bloom? Did you watch any TV? Did you see any media coverage and so on? One third of the population had seen, either been at the show or seen the TV coverage or saw something and said, yeah, I went and did something. I actually went and did some gardening. And we put some figures on that, and they came up with a spend of €96 million of people who either did some gardening themselves. I said, you know what, I'm bringing someone in to do a bit of a makeover or a whatever, a patio or a deck or some planting and so on. And that was a very robust bit of research. That's not just me pulling a figure out of the air. There's nothing anecdotal in that. €96 million of spend that could be linked back to Bloom. And that tells you how good the investment is in a show like this.
Two things. This is Mick taking round. You've been on the telly. We were at Clare Garden Festival. Two ladies walked past and I suggested they should take a selfie with you. They were very impressed. It was the man off the telly. How is that feeling? Are you being called a superstar? How big is your head right now? Are you better looking than me? Is that the way you feel?
No, Peter, never better looking than you. And never have your gift of the gab but your charming way with all sexes, male and female. No, the TV thing, that's not my end of it. You know that, like, I like doing the Super Garden thing. It's a bit of fun. It's interesting. You know, for someone like me that does lots of other stuff most of the year, it's an interesting process. It links to Bloom, obviously. It's a fantastic platform for Bloom. The 6 weeks before the show, it's great. You know, it's Bloom, Bloom, Bloom. The winner goes to Bloom, which is great for this show. And it's gardening on TV. And it may or may not be everyone's cup of tea because not everyone is into those kind of makeover type programs, that fly on the wall type stuff. But it actually draws in an audience, a very large audience of people who may not ever look at gardening or look at plants or have any interest in horticulture because it's that type of program. So, you know, who's going to win, and it's the tears and the passion and, you know, the jeopardy. Will they get it over the line? Will they get it finished? So it works. Like this is the sixth year of Super Garden. It's getting huge numbers, viewer numbers. It gets the repeats. It's gardening on TV, and I'm happy with that.
Is there an element of, okay, so sorry, I've got word in my ear from Brian. I should explain this to those outside of Ireland who don't know Super Garden. Super Garden, in short, I'll be corrected if I'm wrong here, you take on a private back garden, you've got some form of a budget, you have, there's a pre-qualification that you should not have worked in the trade before, and the winner then gets to come and build a garden at Bloom. Is that correct?
Yeah, close enough. I won't say wannabe designers, because some of them do have training, professional training. None of them have a career kind of established yet. None of them have had a show garden at Bloom. They get a real client, a real garden, a proper brief, all very different. Typically, you know, suburban gardens or town gardens and so on. They get a small budget, they get €5,000. They have to create a garden, a show garden, if you like, you know, a high standard garden, within 4 weeks. And then the winner of that competition then that gets to come and rebuild, recreate that garden at Bloom.
Well, what about the naysayers who turn around and go, well, hold on a sec, that's just a pile of shit. You've taken some gardener who's never made a garden before. You've stuck them on the television programme. It's you know, and then they go, and you're just lessening our career. I spent 4 years going through college. Do you think you are? Well, what about them? Is that just, you know, well, thanks for the PR. Nice to be, you know, no press is bad press.
No. I think that's a fair point. I think that's a fair point. And I will be the one who would be constantly saying, watching the standards and saying, you know what, you cannot pretend to the public that you can create this without skills, without training, without knowledge, without proper budget. So I think more and more what we've seen over the years, the people who actually get through to Super Garden are people who do have training and they have some experience. So you can see even in the TV situation, those standards have gone up as well. It's very unusual to get someone who doesn't have training and experience, who just has all the skills and is a natural gardener or garden designer stroke contractor who can achieve all that. It's very, very rare. 1 or 2 years they come through. But in most situations, you're getting someone who has a training in horticulture, who's trying to get their career going, and it's a fantastic PR opportunity or launching pad for them.
You think, and this is the positive to the negative that I just spoke, and in brackets playing devil's advocate here, but you think there's also a bit where a lot of people watch the television programmes and they see the gardens in Bloom and go, you know, big chest out, sure, I could build that in the morning, or I could do better than him. I've had the criticisms and I've also had the applauds for gardens that I have made, and my head is kind of scratching my head going, do you actually realise how much work goes into making a show garden? I would have started in August, as you would well know, to build a garden for the following June for 5 days just to rip it all apart. How is that? Has that kind of scattered the cat amongst the pigeons? Is that the cliche?
Firstly, my view on gardens, and this may not be to everyone's liking, but my view on every garden is contrived as far as I'm concerned. It's not nature. It's not a natural landscape. You're going in there. there might be some natural elements if you're by the sea, if you're up in the mountains and so on. But in most situations, you're starting from scratch and it's completely contrived. The difference in most gardens, my view, would be that you're designing something to look good over a much longer period, whereas in the show garden situation, it is show business. It's very much show business. It's about making look something that looks good on camera for photography, something that looks fantastic for 5 days. So there's very much an artificiality about it. And in many situations, if you actually pull a show garden apart, you'll say, well, you know what, there's one or two elements in there that I'd be happy to have that will look good all year round or that are more sustainable. But for most of it, you won't. But I think that's not a problem, because occasionally you see someone come to Bloom and say, no, I want to do a real garden. I want to do something with a low budget. I want to do something that looks good all year round. I say, fine, okay. How's it going to look for those 5 days? What reaction are you going to get? You know, will people stop and engage? Will they take your name? Will they take a photograph? Will the camera stop? Will RTE say, yeah, I want to put that on the news? So you've got to, you know, this is show business. And I don't make any apologies about that. And what we're trying to do is entertain and inspire people. They want to see something special. They want to see designers push the boundaries out. They want to see new materials. They want to see things that are weird and wacky or interesting. And that's great.
Chelsea Flower Show came up with a fringe. We seem to have kind of done an element of that. One of the reports that came from Chelsea, I say a report, a media report, suggested that the whole show gardening thing had become a little bit formulaic. It had become a little bit bland and a little bit boring. It kind of leaned me almost away from, I could nearly walk past and go, seen it, know how to do it, seen it, seen it, seen it. They were generally speaking Tuscany inspired, or I don't know. They just kind of, how would you say, nearly didn't turn me on. Again, Ireland is a small place. We've only got a population of 4.5 million. So there's only very few people who have, you know, I suppose, built a Bloom. Some have rebuilt a Bloom. My own would have stood off the page. Is there anything that is, how would you say, immediately standout-ish from the gardens that are at Bloom this year?
Yeah, now it's obviously I have to be careful and not be picking any one out from others. But no, that I think that's a really interesting point about Chelsea. And I go to Chelsea every year to have a look. And some of our judges, as you know, are judging at Chelsea or building gardens or designing gardens at Chelsea. So I'll go over there on Sunday before the show opens to the public so I can have a really good look. And I agree, there are four or five designers, and I won't name them, the top designers in the UK who have a former that they use at Chelsea. And they will have those same elements slightly rearranged in their gardens every year, and every year they will get their gold medal almost invariably. And if you're the typical person who goes to Chelsea, probably only goes a couple of times in their life. A lot of people only go once in their life, or because people come from all over the world to Chelsea as well. The tickets are sold out in January of each year. So for someone like you or me who's in the industry, and we go along and we say, as you said, yeah, seen that, can do that, seen that, you know, it can be a little bit uninspiring, but for most people going, they haven't seen that, and they go, wow, that's crisp and it's smart and it's whatever, as you said, it's Italianate and it's this and it's that. When it comes to Bloom, I'm happy to say, and I don't say this in a boastful way, we have the same judges, the same people who are doing Chelsea and Hampton Court who are coming over here as well, and we have designers here, as you know, who are exhibiting at Chelsea and Hampton Court. And I don't know why it is. I have tried to figure this out before. I think whether it's something to do with the Irish psyche, whether there's a creativity here that's a little bit different. I think maybe because we're more chancers, there's a bit more risk taking. People here will even our very high end safe designers will often take a chance and will try to do something a little bit differently. They won't always succeed, but I know this from the feedback from our judges and the panels that come in from the UK and they walk around. They always see stuff that's a little bit different and a little bit interesting, less formulaic, if you like. There'll be two or three gardens here which will be very similar to the gardens that you will see at Chelsea or Hampton Court, any of the top shows around the world. But then there's stuff that's weird and wacky and different. And I do think it's because of that Irishness, that thing that comes through in our art, our literature, all those kind of creative professions. There's something there that makes it a little bit different. I also think that the way that we group our gardens in the show garden area, where we group small, medium, large, concept, side by side in the same space, so you see that variety straight away when you go in there. Whereas when you go to Chelsea, you've got your large gardens on Main Avenue, And you can have a situation some years where they're very samey. And then you've got to go to the fresh gardens in another area, and they have a similar theme, if you like, or you know, look going on. And then you look at the small gardens out on the Renle Avenue, and again, and they are different. Whereas we group everything side by side, so straight away you should see that variety. You should see that there's a whole lot of different ideas going on there.
Do you think, in the show gardening sense of it, that people who are creative, oddball little freaks is probably the better way to put it, who don't build the symmetrical, equational, go for the metal formula. Do you think that at the back of it all, that secretly they get something that is not the metal? Or in other words, in judges' words, as we spoke with Andrew Wilson last year on the Sod Show, and I think he explained to me that he was dropped points at Chelsea Flower Show because his movable furniture was in the wrong place. To bring it back into Pink Boats and Morris Miners, not to refer to myself, but it's the oddest thing that I know that has appeared here. You might disagree. Do you think that kind of oddball, nut job, freaky little fecker kind of gets penalised at the back of it all, but secretly gets something different from it? Does that question make sense at all?
No, that question makes a lot of sense. And I have lots of conversations with designers here about why are they here. Are you here for the metal? Do you want to play safe? Do you want to do something different? There are people here, and you know them, I don't need to name them, who are about, they want to do community gardening. They want to work with you know, fantastic organisations who are doing great work, you know, in with charities or across society, and they're not about metals. They're about getting a message across. There are people who want to shock. You know, there are people who want to do different things, and there's lots of different ways of using a show garden. It's not just about the metals. So I do remind people of that, because it's not for everyone. There are people who are, you know, and you have to be a little bit anal about the metals. You really do. It's about ticking lots and lots and lots of boxes, and some people can do that, and they can do it with panache, and they're still happy with what they achieve. Others can't do that because there's something else going on for them. They want to do art installations. They want to see it used somewhere else, at another event or in a public space. And so they're using bloom for different reasons. And I like that. I like that. It means you're not going to have everything being the same, and you're not going to have everyone going after metal. And I think that all the designer needs to do is decide, well, why am I going? What do I want to do? What do I want to achieve? For some people, it's all about the PR. It's about the media coverage. It's getting in front of as many people as possible. Other designers went into horticulture and garden design because they don't want to talk to people. They want to be out in the garden. You know, they won't talk to the plants. So long as the designer is clear on why they're here and what they're trying to achieve, then everyone should be happy.
Our thanks to Gary Graham, show manager of Bloom in the Park, bloominthepark.com. It's on next Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday and Bank Holiday Monday in the Phoenix Park in Dublin. Sodshow will be there at Sodshow. If you want to talk to us, we'd love to put the microphones on you. With thanks to Peter Donegan, the man behind the microphone, the man behind the wire, the man on production, Katrina Redmond on the blogs. With thanks to our sponsors, greensacks.ie, compostable bags for home and garden. Check them out on the internet at greensacks.ie, in the supermarket where you can drop greensacks into your trolley. I'm Brian Green. Talk to you all next week at 3 p.m. where we'll be in the middle of bloom. Take care. Have a great week. Bye-bye.